Broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue. And our post office box number is 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. This is Pastor H.G. Gale speaking and inviting you to stay tuned with us, worship with us in this next hour. And may the grace of our God rest upon us. Our dear Heavenly Father, lead us and guide us and keep us in this hour. May the Holy Spirit brood over us, above us. Give grace where it's needed, our Father. Comfort the many hearts that are bereaved at this time. Grant them grace, our Lord, and comfort them as only thou canst. Our Lord Jesus, we thank thee that thou art the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in thee, thy word declares, shall have eternal life and not come into judgment. And we thank thee, Father, that our Lord Jesus, he suffered the judgment of our sins upon the cross, delivered us from condemnation. And our Father, they that are in Christ Jesus no longer are under condemnation. And we thank thee, our Father, for such love and such grace that you bestowed upon such mortals as we. Lead us in this hour. Have mercy. For Christ's sake we ask it. Amen. Precious, precious blood of Jesus. They can make our sins whiter than snow. They can make us whiter than snow. And praise the Lord for the precious blood of Jesus. Now I want everyone to turn to 115 and sing, "There is a fountain filled with blood." Everybody, let's sing this number. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains.
Yeah.
just these announcements, and we'll have the choir to sing one of our late friends, Mrs. Youngman's favorite, Kneel at the Cross, after these announcements. Now, the order of services, we will have services here tonight at 7:30, the Metropolitan Tabernacle, 501 Opelousas Avenue, and you do come and be with us tonight. We're studying in the First Corinthians, the first epistle to Corinthians, the first chapter, and the Lord's blessing us. I'm getting a great joy out of it. And you come on and be with us tonight in the Bible study of 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. And also we have services at the missions tonight. The Good News Chapel, 2205 Main Street, Pascagoula, Moss Point, Mississippi. And the time will be 7:30. Brother J.B. Shelton will lead you there in worship. Hope Chapel, Virginia Manor Subdivision, Picayune, Mississippi. The time will be 6:30. And Brother Frank Macbeth will be in charge. Grace Chapel, 636 West 4th Street, Hattiesburg, Mississippi. The time there will be 6:30. Brother J.T. Weiss will be in charge of the services there. And also First Baptist Church, Hillcrest, 1923 Maryland Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They'll have services there tonight at 7 o'clock. And Brother T.D. McMurray will have charge of the services, Legion Worship. May God give you gracious services at all of these missions. I praise him the way that he is blessing us and blessing there. And services here tonight, 7:30. Wednesday night, 7:45. So you come on and be with us and study God's word together. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there'll be services. Brother J.B. Shelton will hold services Wednesday night at 7 o'clock in the home of Brother Donald Todd in Gulf Shores, Alabama. Now, I want us to sing, the choir to sing that gracious number, Kneel at the Cross. One of Mrs. Youngman's favorite in her lifetime, Kneel at the Cross. men kneel at the cross. You often heard the remark, down sinner, down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll meet you there in repentance. He'll grant you faith to lay hold of him, saving grace for your soul. And that'll be for eternity. I praise the Lord for that. I was down there one day, and I met my Lord at his feet, and I praise him for it. And I ever remain in his feet. I'm always a beggar, always looking for just handouts from him, as you might say. And he benefits us, and he does give us the desires of our hearts, everything that's in relation to his will. Now, I want to many times I do not know how to express words like I did last night at the wake of our beloved friend. I just didn't know how to express words. I get a loss sometimes for words. And even at this hour. But I praise the Lord that we can bring words of comfort, of hope in the Lord. As we have the body of Mrs. Elena Louisa Smith Youngman before us, the tabernacle this morning, pay our last respect. I came here this morning burdened, like I mentioned to you earlier. Burden last night, didn't hardly sleep. Burden this morning for the services of today. I came here burdened for you, your soul. We who are alive and yet remain. I'm not burdened for our departed friend. She's gone. And she'll receive her reward. It'll be a good one. You know, in this life, if there was only hope in this life, we'd be of all men most miserable, wouldn't we? We certainly would be. But there's hope, not only in this life, but in the life to come. And we don't know the Lord. I've watched this dear friend for years, the family. Always loved them, still do. We'll continue to love them. Follow her convictions in this ministry. The way she walked and stood steadfast. Couldn't move her away because it was under this ministry that God saved her. And she came to know the Lord and salvation. It's like every one of us who know the Lord, you cannot remove us, you cannot move us away from it, from the pillar of truth. And God's blessed her life, given her a gracious family, which indeed I'm thankful for. Helpers to us here in the ministry, favorites of all of us, all of us. And I know in the last days here upon this earth in this body of flesh, I've heard some remarks, words she spoke, and it reminded me of Job, waiting patiently. Just give me patience. I believe those were some of her words. Oh, that I may have patience just to wait. You and I, we get in a hurry, don't we, at times? We want to hurry up. Oh, if I could go to be with the Lord now. You may be suffering, dear child, dear saint, and I'm sure we have many who are suffering out in Radio Land. I'm thinking of some now. You may not be long upon this earth, and I know you patiently waiting for your new body when you shall depart and be with the Lord. I am too. Every believer is. But then, through it all, we find the grace of God is sufficient to quiet our fears. Let us bid time here just a little longer. He has a reason for it. We do not understand it, but he has many reasons for keeping the saints as long as he does. But then, there's a gracious number that she liked. My son is going to play it on the organ, and I'm going to recite the words to it. The name of it is Impatient Heart, Be Still. You listen to the words of it. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to recite it here from the hymn book. All right, son. Impatient heart, be still. What though he tarries long? What though the triumph song is still? Is still delayed? Thou hast his promise sure, and that is all secure. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Be still. Be still. Impatient heart, be still. Impatient heart, be still. My eager heart, be still. Thy Lord will surely come. And take thee to his home with him to dwell. It may not be today, and yet my soul, it may. I cannot tell. I cannot tell. Be still, my dear, be still. My impatient heart, be still. Be still. My anxious heart, be still. Watch, work, and pray. And then it will not matter when thy Lord shall come. At midnight, or at noon, he cannot come too soon to take thee home, to take. still, impatient heart, be still. Impatient heart, be still. Be still before the Lord. Watch the salvation of the Lord. And he has to give us the patience, I know that, running the good race with patience. I brought a message not too long ago. I feel constrained to bring it again. Many of us heard it, many of us didn't. But I feel constrained on the condition that we're experiencing here now from the Word of God. It's found, I'm going to read the text from Job, the 14th chapter. I want you to hear, I want you to listen to the Word of God, to the Spirit of God speaking to our hearts this morning. Beginning with the first verse. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Listen to the Word of God. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down, and bringeth me into judgment with thee. And continued, he fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And thus thou open thine eyes upon such a one and bringeth me into judgment with thee. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, and remember that word, determined, seeing that his days are determined upon this earth, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. The scriptures tell us that man's life is 70. If he lives more than 70, which is 60, he is this all of grace. This extra years God's added to the life. You and I, many of us here this morning, are approaching close to the 60th year of our life. How is it with you? How is it with you? Many of us have passed the expected time, the determined time. How is it with you? Do you know the Lord? Do you know the Christ of God's Word? And then that sixth verse, turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof waxed old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayed and dried up, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more, till they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. And here's the petition of Job. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret, until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. Then he asked the question, if a man dies, shall he live? Shall he live again? And I imagine that's a question that's been asked through the ages, through the centuries, even asked today. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Job knew that one day he would rise again. He said, I shall rise, and I shall rise from this grave. Let me see if I can read it right here. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroyed this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. If a man die, shall he live again? Have you asked yourself that question? Or did you come to the conclusion that after this life, it's the end of it, there's no more? How folly to think of such a thing when we've got the Word of God to confirm that when a man dies, he's going to live somewhere, someplace, either heaven or hell. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Job goes on, thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have the desire to the work of thine hands. He's going to call, and I'm going to answer him. If he calls today, can you answer him? Can you? Death, it's a sad occasion. I don't like to see it. I do not like to be around it. But let's face the reality of death. Everyone here before me in this audience this morning, out on Radio Land, one day you're going to face death. Do not try to escape the reality of that great fact. Do not shut your eyes to it. And do not let anyone make you believe otherwise, that the end of this life, that's all there's to it. Like I said, the Word of God is clear, but I'm concerned about you. You who know the truth, you who have heard the truth, you who have seemingly embraced the truth. Are you in Christ? Are you following after that, after him who apprehended you? And now you're apprehending him. You're following after him, after Christ, longing after him. He's your life. He's my life. He's our hope. He's my justification. He's my righteousness. Yet death is a removal forever out of the world. Now, this truth needs not to be proved. We see it every day around us. We see it in our very midst here. Look at it. In reality, once she was here with us, full of laughter, gaiety, consoling, admonishing. Now she's gone. Gone to another world, far distant country, a better country. And I'm sure she was able to say with the old patriarch Abraham, I am looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. She's looking to Christ, and now she has awakened to be with him in another world, out yonder. Do you have such a hope, my friends? Do you? I'm looking for a city which hath foundations. The Lord said, let not your heart be troubled. If ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go away and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then I'm going to come back and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. You see, the believer is out of place down here. He's in the wrong place. His place is in glory with the Lord. But one day, he will attain to that which he hoped for. And that hope grows brighter and brighter every day. Christ is the hope set before us, who has entered within the veil, who is longing for our homecoming. Blessed in the eyes of our Lord is the death of his saint. Precious in his eyes. He only waits as we wait. He waits till the day when he can take us. We wait till he comes to get us. And we wait patiently. So death must be considered, and it needs to be much considered for both the young, the aged, everyone here this morning, that a man cut down by death will not revive again as a tree cut down will. There's hope of a tree. Cut it down, spring up, searches its way for the water and the moisture in the ground, come up. But a man cut down will never revive again. That stem or stump left in the ground, though it may seem dry, yet it will shoot out young boughs again, as if it were but newly planted. The moisture of the earth and the rains of heaven have an influence upon it to revive it. Not so with the dead body of a man. The rains of heaven nor the moisture of the earth cannot revive him once he is dead. Listen, my friend, life can only be restored to man by omnipotence himself, by God himself. If a man died and wasted away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? And no matter how mighty a man might be, how strong, how full of gaiety and health and strength, he dies. Adam, a man of the earth, because he is earthy, gives up the ghost. But you know, you often think about man that wasted away. Once you're young, you're full of vigor, you're full of health. Look at yourself today. You and I are wasting away, aren't we? Talking about diseases of the day and how they are capturing our bodies and our health, and we're falling under its power and influence in our system. Look at it. Look at it. And you will see ourselves decaying as the days and the months and the years go by. Yes, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to myself. And I'm wanting you, our young people, to listen in that you're wasting away. You and I are wasting away. Look around us today. Can we not all say that this is so? That you and I are continually wasting away? We are dying daily. The flesh, the strength, the beauty are wasting away through sickness and old age. In death, he gives up the ghost. The soul leaves the body and returns to God who gave it, the Father of spirits. Job asked the question, where is he? He is somewhere. Mind you, That soul is still alive somewhere, and we should give much consideration to think where those who are that are given up the ghost, and where we shall be when we give it up. Let's consider. May God the Holy Spirit open our eyes this morning, my friend, and make you face the reality of eternity. The realities. Don't close your eyes to them. When you leave this world, there is no coming back. Think about it, my young people. Think about it. When you leave this world, there is no coming back to this particular world. Yes, I know the redeemed of the Lord will come back and reign with the Lord Jesus for 1,000 years, who shall reign in righteousness upon this earth, but not in the earth that we know it as it is as of now. No, you'll never come back. You got a one-way journey. You're going down. Think of it. When you leave this world, there is no coming back. You will be gone, gone into eternity. That a man laid down in the grave will not rise up again. That is, to such a state as we are now in. Tonight we go to bed. In the morning we wake up. But we do not really know whether we'll go to bed tonight, or whether if we do go to bed, we'll wake up tomorrow morning. We wake, arise, and go out about our daily task as we always did. But at death we must lie down in the grave, never to wake up until the resurrection. Blessed are they who are found, or who will have a part in the first resurrection, for the second resurrection, which means the judging of the dead, the judging of sinners, the judging of the ungodly. They will face the awful judgment and wrath of God. But blessed are they who have part in the first resurrection. Now listen. If man could come back again, wouldn't you think that life would be somewhat different, like the rich man who died and went to hell? Oh, how he cried. He said, "Father Abraham," he said, "go out yonder, send Lazarus out yonder, and to warn my brothers. I have five brothers. I do not want them to come here." Listen, there's no individual that's in hell today that like anyone else to come there. There's no one else. I mean, there's none in hell today that would like to see others come there. Think about it. Oh, what it means to be saved, to be under the sheltering blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What would that rich man give in exchange from his place in hell to another opportunity to live once again upon this earth? If he could revisit the earth to repair the evils of a wicked life, my friend, there's no hope after this life. Think about it with me. There's no hope. If you reject the truth, reject Christ, and you live for time, you live for yourself, and you live for the world, there's no coming back. There's no coming back. How awful is this truth? But it is truth. If we could revisit the earth to repair the evils of a wicked life, to repent of our sins, to make amends for every fault and for every action, to have another chance to hear the prophets and to make preparations for a future world. When you think that his life would be different, and what a difference it would be to die if they could come back. But my friends, you got a one-way ticket. You and I are going out of this life, never to come back as such. My dear boy, listen to me. My dear girl, who is spending your life on the pleasures and the lust of this world, at your own self. My dear boy, my girl, think about it. As you travel over this road of life, You tread a path which is not to be traveled again. When you neglect the opportunity to hear the word of God, the gospel of your salvation, that your soul might live, it cannot be recalled. When you give yourself over to sin and to riches and to pleasures and to the lusts of this world, you cannot come back to repair the evil that has already been done. Would to God you would turn to Christ now and trust Him to save your soul, my dear friend. Would you do that? Turn to the Lord and live. Turn in repentance, in faith, in Christ. One day, you're going to fall and die. You'll not live anymore upon this earth. And if you die without Christ, you die without hope, to suffer in misery and eternal pain forever and forever. Where the fire is not quenched, where the worm dieth not. If you die in Christ, you die in hope under the sheltering blood, and He will keep you safely until all the storms of the wrath of God are past. Judgment is coming, my friends. The storms, the judgment wrath of God, they're rolling closer and closer. You may be next. You ever stop to think about it? Where is your hope? Where is your hope? Is your hope Christ? Are you under the blood? Death has no respect to persons of age. It doesn't matter how intellectual an individual may be, how many riches or wealth that individual may have. Death is no respect to person. That I would have a hiding place. Oh, that you can have a hiding place this morning. Christ is my hiding place. My hiding place. Is He your hiding place? Do you have a hiding place to run to shelter you from? God holds the key to life and death. He hides His people from the storms and the trouble of this life for the bliss and the glory of a better life. Death has no sting to the believer. The grave has no victory over the believer. Praise God, our Lord Jesus Christ came forth from the grave on the resurrection morning, and then He conquered sin, death, and the grave for every one of us. The grave cannot hold us. We shall die. We shall be buried. But we shall rise. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful to think about that? Oh, grave, where is your victory? We learn all of that through grace. To know that our blessed Lord conquered the grave for us, it's just a resting place there, waiting for the day when He shall call everyone from the graves. That's all it's for. It's a resting place, you might say. And the guardian angels protects that grave of every one of God's children, protects it until the day when those that are in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall come forth in the resurrection. Isn't that wonderful? You think about that. How bliss it is. How bliss it is to die in the Lord. To die in Christ. And to know that that old body is just resting in the grave. It's going back to Mother Earth. But the soul, the spirit that God has redeemed and washed in His precious blood, it's going back there to be with Him from whence it came. Isn't that wonderful? You think about that. To be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. Think about that. And there we shall lie, the old body, the old dust. And until his wrath, the judgment is past, that thou wilt appoint me a set time and remember me. Remembered as God remembered Noah in the ark. After all of his judgment was poured upon this earth, the word of God tells us he remembered Noah and they in the ark. I praise him that he doesn't forget his child. He doesn't forget us. He watches over us, takes care of us from the time that we're born into this world until the time he takes us home. And then he protects that body in the grave. And it's only going to be brought forth so he can give us a new resurrection body like unto his. Isn't that going to be wonderful? We won't have these bodies of sin and misery and pain and sufferings. And we won't have that. Praise God, we won't have it. I praise him, we won't have it. God hid Noah from the destruction of the old world, but he preserved him from the reconstruction. He preserved him for the reconstruction of the new world. The bodies of the saints shall not be forgotten in the grave. There is a time upon it, a time set. They will be remembered. And just like he remembers his people today, if a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my life, my appointed time, will I wait until my change come. There's a coming of change. It's going to be a great change. So Job was satisfied to wait until his change come. Let us be satisfied here. He had reference to his warfare and his trials and all of his uncertain comforts. Now one day there's going to be a great change. Believers should wait patiently in trial till his change comes. Patiently. Impatient heart, be still, wait patiently. Yes, day by day, could this be the day? And we go through the day doing our daily task, work, praying, watching, and it hadn't come then. Go through the night, wake up the next day, hadn't come yet. Oh, just patience, patiently waiting till he calls us. But let's wait. My dear saint, a change will come, and that will be soon. It'll be the last change, and a change for the better. We must patiently endure, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, but is now seated on the right hand of the majesty on high. And what is he doing there? He's praying for us, praying that we'll be inspired by his life, his patience, waiting. And he endured the cross, patiently endured for you and I. And we, through his sufferings, we endure patience, waiting upon him. God's time is the best. Therefore, let us be willing to tarry until it does come. The change is coming, my dear friend. We must give diligence and get ready for when the change comes. Make yourself ready. Get right with God. Get right with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this moment, at this time, get right with him. Trust him. Surrender unto him. Be obedient unto him. But Job goes on to say, he said, one day he's going to call. One day he'll call, and I will answer. It will be the call of love, yearning after its object, the believer. It will be the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ returning to take his children to himself. The shout will be, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. At the resurrection, thou shalt call me out of the grave by the voice of the archangel, and I will answer thee and come at thy call. Call thou now. Couldn't you say that? Oh, believer, couldn't you say that? Call thou now. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come. Come and take us. But he may not answer that call, the time we call. He may yet say, just a little while longer, my child, until I fulfill all my purpose and plan that I have ordained before the foundation of the world for your life, to the praise, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. To depart and to be with Christ is far better. Yes, I will answer thee. Can you say with me, my dear friends, this morning, you're listening in radio line and here in this tabernacle, I am ready, Lord. Are you ready? Can you say that this morning? I am ready. Call thou me, and I will answer. Call me home. Separate me from everything, from this world, this sin-cursed world, and take me home to be with you, where I shall live eternally in bliss and glory and full holiness and perfection like I've never known. Yes, the eye hath not seen, nor the ear hath heard, those things that wait for the believer in glory. Our dear friend is experiencing that now. She wouldn't swap with us for nothing in the world. Before God ever saved her, she counted everything but loss that she might win Christ. And my dear, my friends, you're going to do that. You'll count everything but dung that you might win Christ and know him, not having your own righteousness, which is after your own making and weaving, but the righteousness that comes by faith in Christ. Lord, hear us this morning. Lord, turn many a heart unto thee. And may he do that in this hour as we come to the close of this message. In just a few minutes here, I want to bring these thoughts out to you. Now, there's a true reason why the believer desires to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. He will be in a place where there will be no more sin. Oh, how often these mortal bodies do we bring many sorrows and shed many tears, both upon the account of sin and the afflictions that come by it. But there in the presence of our Lord, he himself, with his own gentle and gracious hand, will wipe every tear away, nevermore to return again. Every tear shall be wiped away from our eyes. Yes, my friend, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Oh, what is the present state of believers in this world? For one thing, they are absent from the Lord. They are pilgrims and strangers in this world. They are sojourners like Abraham. They walk by faith, precious faith, God given them to save them by and to keep them by, to walk by and to die by the faith of God's elect. Remember this, those who are born from above long to be there, to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Here we walk by faith, their faith will be turned to sight. Wherefore, until that time comes, we labor. We don't labor lazily, but industriously, as the most ambitious man do to obtain what they aim for. Many aim for prize and positions in this life, but we labor for a greater a life, a greater reward, a greater hope. As it was with the Apostle Paul, the same should be true of every born-again believer, whether we live or die, whether we are on earth or in heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, it should be the great fixed principle of our nature so to live as to secure the approval of God. Oh, my dear friends, I poured my heart out to you this morning here, knowing that many of you are not in Christ. knowing that you're taken up with the world, knowing that you're driving after something in this world, I don't know. You're trying to be satisfied by the things of this world. But my friends, there's nothing in this world that can satisfy you. There never will be. The only satisfaction that you and I can attain is what we have in Christ, is what we can attain in Him. Oh, come to Him. He has riches and pleasures forevermore to give you. And I commend you unto the grace of God, unto the Holy Spirit, to awaken you and show you your need of Christ, and that you can go away rejoicing, praising Him for such a great salvation, to know that I have life eternal in Christ, a blessed hope. We want to thank you for listening in with us in Radio Land. And at this time in the Metropolitan Tabernacle, we come to the close of this service. God's with us. He's in us. He overshadows us this morning. I thank Him for it. May the God of all grace and comfort be upon each and every individual in these times. God bless you. We'll have to leave in Radio Land. Hear us next Sunday on The Voice of Truth, broadcast 7 till 8, the 10 to 11 Bible School of the Air, and the 11 o'clock worship. Our writers, let us hear from you. Goodbye. God bless you.